You guys are awesome. Thank you for being here today. I'm excited to get to share with you guys this morning. I don't know if you do this or not, but I want to encourage you guys to take notes. To take not just today, but anytime we have a speaker, Pastor Dennis is speaking, Pastor Dennis is sharing, because who knows what God could speak to your heart. Maybe you need a real pen and paper, maybe you could just do it on your phone, but who knows what God could speak to your heart by what the message is shared today or any other day. So I want to encourage you to take some notes, to write some things down, because I don't know about you, for you, this is kind of how I learn. I learn better when I write things down. Like if you see my desk in my office, like I've got post-it notes, like stuck. I'm a post-it note guy, like every color and every, like I like the post-it notes. And so, because who knows what God could speak to your heart. And so I'm hoping and praying somehow, some way that God speaks to you today. One thing that we say in our student ministry is that note takers are
history makers,
right? And we also say that note takers go to heaven. So, which is totally not true, but it sure doesn't help, or it doesn't hurt. So I want to encourage you to do that. If you brought your Bibles today, we're going to be in Matthew 6, and we're going to talk a little bit through Matthew 6 today. And if you're a title kind of person, if you're writing down, if you are taking notes, the kind of title of today's message is Are You Okay? Are you okay? And I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad was my pastor for the longest time. He's still my dad pastor. But I grew up in a pastor's home, and my dad, he used to tell these preacher stories. And well, they're not always really stories, and sometimes they're not even always true. they're more like anecdotes, right? Or illustrations. And so, but here's how it works. And you've got to tell the story, and you've got to tell it like it's in first person for people to really believe it. And so I'm going to tell you this story. There's this woman who, she bought a plant for her bedroom. And one day she looks at this plant in her bedroom, and she realized, and she thought in her mind, and she said with her mouth, she said, "This plant's not going to make it. This plant is going to die." Even though the plant was perfectly healthy, it was perfectly fine, and everything looked okay on the outside, she made the mistake of dwelling on that thought and thinking on that thought over and over and over. And sure enough, not long after, the leaves started turning yellow, started turning brown, started falling off, and then later on, the plant withered and died. And while she was praying later, she felt like that God told her, "You killed that plant with your thoughts." And then she went to her husband and she said, "I think I just killed this plant with my thoughts." And to which the husband responded, "Well, I hope you think good thoughts about me." Preacher stories, right? So now I don't think that you can kill a plant with your thoughts. That's not normal. But if you can, you might be an X-Man. And let's talk after church today. I would love to hear that. But maybe you've heard this quote before, is that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it never gets you anywhere. And if we're honest and we're in church, we might as well be. I think we know this already. We know that worry is a waste of time. We know that worry isn't going to get us anywhere in life. Even though we know, it seems that understanding is not enough to stop us from worrying. See, we worry about all kinds of things. We worry about work. We worry about church. We worry about school. We worry about friends. We worry about our parents. We worry about our kids. We worry about that appointment. We worry about the test results. We worry about our relationship, our home, our futures. We worry about politics and immigration and natural disasters and so much more. We worry. We have stress. We have anxiety. And even though we know it, it does us no good. See, there are some things that there's some things in my life that bring me stress and anxiety and worry. And I'm not like a big stress guy. And I don't, but there are a few things that kind of get me stressed, that kind of bring some anxiety on my life. I'm somewhat of a germaphobe. Just a little bit. I'm somewhat of a germaphobe. Not hardcore, but I like to be clean. And so, like, whenever I walk into a restroom at a restaurant, there's that always that sign there that says, all employees must wash their hands. I have an issue with that. Because I believe that the sign should say, all humanity should wash their hands. Preach, right? Who goes, who does this? Who goes into the bathroom and thinks, I'm not an employee, so I get to opt out on that one. Like, Pastor Dennis and John and Nick, they love this restaurant called Golden Corral. That place gives me low-level anxiety. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, so like if we go out as a staff together, Pastor Dennis usually goes, where you guys want to go? And I'm like, I'm naming off stuff. Anywhere but Golden Corral. But it's difficult being somewhat of a germaphobe and working in ministry. Like, ministry requires that you pray for people, that you shake people's hands. There's a few guys I know that are in this church who are worse than me. Like, you might be lucky if you get a fist bump from them, or like an elbow tap or something like that. Like, I'll never forget 1 year at kids camp. We're praying with kids, and as at the end of the night, we're praying with kids, and I go up to this boy in the altar, and he's praying, and he starts to tell me what he wants prayer for. Tears were rolling down his face, and snot. I got to be honest, I didn't hear a word he said. Like, I couldn't. I could not, my mind was focused on the mess. And so I was like, you know what, buddy, let's just lift our hands and give that situation to Jesus. Like, let me pray for your elbows. I read this article in Psychology Today, which now makes me an expert. The title of the article was Why Worry Does More Harm Than Good. And the subtitle was Worry Just Makes You Miserable. They just came out and said it. In the article, it listed 6 different causes of worry in our lives. And here they are. It's insecurity, perfectionism, the need for control, social comparison, pessimism, and stress. Anybody in here can relate to any of those 6? Yeah, let's be honest today. And worry, it's a toxic kind of thinking. It's a certain way of thinking about your life that's not good for you. You see, your mind is a tool, and it's effective when it's used for the right thing. Like, you could use a hammer to build a house, or you could use a hammer to tear down a house. And the way you use it matters a whole lot. It can lead to your greatest achievement, but it also could lead to your biggest destruction. Your mind can solve the problems in front of you, or it can become your biggest problem in life. It's all about how you use it. What ally do you have when you're your own worst enemy? See, in this world of, excuse me, in this world of worry, Jesus speaks. And he offers somewhat of an unusual perspective. Jesus told us his thoughts about worry, and you can find them in what's called the Sermon on the Mount, which is really, honestly, the greatest sermon ever preached. And it's in Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And what he does is he touches on these heavy, heavy issues. And he gave insight after insight after insight. But in the middle of this sermon, in chapter 6, he gives us his perspective on worry. So today we're going to walk through this verse by verse and find out what Jesus had to say about worry. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's do it. So Jesus starts in Matthew 6:25 with this odd command. He says, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life." So I'm going to stop right there because it goes on. I'm going to pause right there. And he says, well, here's the deal. I go to Jesus for a solution to my problem. My problem is that I worry. And Jesus' response is, don't. Well, thanks a lot, Jesus. Like, I know I shouldn't, but this problem, the problem is that I can't stop worrying about it, and it's messing up my life, Jesus. What should I do? Don't. It's kind of a strange command, and if I'm honest, it's not super helpful. It's actually, honestly, kind of annoying. But if you really think about Jesus' response here, you'll begin to realize how powerful his perspective is. See, because so often our perspective on mental health, it's victimizing. Because we determine that the things around me and the things happening to me determine how I feel. But Jesus turns it around. And Jesus' view on worry is empowering. He seems to think we actually have something to do about it. He seems to think that we're in control. Why would Jesus tell us to do something that we can't do? So when Jesus says, don't worry, he's not painting some bleak picture that, and we just have to learn to live with it. Well, I know, like, you know me, like, I struggle with depression and anxiety, and I struggle with worry, and I struggle with fear. It's just who I am. It's just what I do, and it's my personality. It's my heritage. My mom struggled with it, and so I'm going to have to deal with it. When Jesus says, no, you're strong. You're empowered. You are not a victim. Do not worry. And I love his choice of words. And here's where we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about for a moment just anxiety. Because I believe there's so much of our world, so much of our generation right now that struggles with anxiety. But anxiety comes from worry. See, the difference between anxiety and worry is that anxiety is a noun. And worry is both a noun and a verb. I'd put a D on the end of noun. There's no D there. It's noun and a verb. So anxiety is something that you just experience. But worry is not just something that you feel. It's something that you do. I want you to catch this, because when Jesus is saying don't worry, I don't think he's saying don't ever feel anxious. And don't ever be nervous. He's saying don't allow yourself to worry. Let's look at the definition of worry itself. It says this. What's that next word? Say that again. To allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles, to give way to anxiety or unease. You see, it's one thing to feel anxiety, and it's another thing to give way to it. And Jesus isn't saying, he's saying, don't feel things. Don't have emotions. Don't feel. He's saying, don't allow yourself to dwell on the difficulty of the trouble and the problems around you. Don't give way to anxiety in your life. You are empowered. You're not a victim. You carry the responsibility for what you allow yourself to think and feel. And so here's what happens. Sometimes when we hear messages like this, we tend to overcorrect. And we tend to, so what we do is we like, okay, Jesus, that's it. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to stress about this. I'm not even going to think about this, as a matter of fact. Like, stress, like, it's not going to be a thing for me. I'm not going to work on it. I'm not going to plan. I'm not going to prepare. Jesus, I hear you loud and clear. I'm just going to be numb. And that would be wrong. Jesus doesn't say don't think about it. He doesn't say don't stress about it. He doesn't say not to prepare for it or not to be perplexed by it. He doesn't say to not work on it. He says, don't worry about it. See, concern is healthy and it's good for you. God doesn't want you to be crushed by life, but he also doesn't want you to say, well, I'm not going to carry my weight in life. Because if I'm never stretched, I'll never be strengthened. See, worry causes us to obsess over things that we either can't control or we're not willing to do anything about. Because healthy concern helps us to focus on the things that matter. So Jesus says, he says, don't worry, but that doesn't mean we don't have some work to do on our lives. So back to Jesus' sermon. Jesus is going to tell us why we shouldn't worry and what we should do instead of worry. So we go to Jesus for answers, and he reminds us to ask the right questions so we can come to the truth or the conclusion on our own. And when we come to the truth on our own, it becomes more real to us. You know, you can have people stand up here and preach to you and tell you truth and tell you things that you need to believe and you need to realize. But when you walk through that on your own and you realize it, it becomes so real and so true. So before he gives us this alternative, Jesus, he asks five questions, and he's going to address the issue in three different categories. And so the first three questions give us reasons not to worry, and then the three categories all start with F. Got it? So Matthew 6:25, he says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And here's the question. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Hang with me here. See, with the first question, Jesus gives us two categories of worry and fashion. Like, honestly, I don't know if there's a couple things more fundamental than our lives right now than food and fashion. Like, these two things are a part of our daily lives, food and clothing. Forgive me. But think about it. How many of our conversations revolve around food and fashion? Right? Like, where should we eat? What should not Golden Corral? No. Where should we eat? Like, what should we have? What should I wear? How many of you guys, let's be honest, how many of you guys, those of you who are married in this room, walked out of your closet or out of your bedroom to your spouse and say, does this look good? Does this match? I do. Like, I get the once over and like, no, go back and change. So we're like, but so many of our conversations are like, where should we eat? What should we wear? You went out to eat? What did you have? Was it good? What did you wear? Like, who did you go out to eat with? What did they eat? What did they wear? I can't believe she wore that, right? But I think we worry about food and clothing the same way. I don't think we worry about it the same way that what Jesus is speaking to the culture at this time. See, for those people sitting on the hillside, the issue of food and fashion or food and clothing were issues of life and death. See, these things were necessities. But I think in a small way, it's just as relevant to us today. There may be a slightly different application, though. So when I think about food and when I think about fashion, I think what Jesus is trying to say is that we need what we need and what we want. And these two things preoccupy us every single day. Am I going to have what I need? Am I going to get what I want? Am I going to have what I need? Am I going to get what I want? And with this first question, Jesus gives the reason why you should not worry about your life. Matthew 6:25. He says, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? I think what he's getting at is a little bit subtle today. But I think he's saying our life is a greater blessing than our livelihood. I think what he's telling us, there's this, it's a philosophical study. It says, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it says the whole is greater than its sum. Or I'm sorry, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I don't know if you know this, but that is not mathematically correct. What he's trying to say is things are so much greater together than they are apart. Jesus is saying that life is more than the food that keeps you alive and the fashion that covers you. If we're constantly worried about staying alive, we'll rob ourselves of the joy of being alive. If we're constantly worried about food and about fashion, who's liking or who's not liking my picture, or what that person said, or let me say it this way, are the things you're worried about, stressing about, causing you anxiety, robbing you of the joy of being alive? Jesus is saying that life is so much more than these things. Then he gives an illustration to help us understand it. In Matthew 6:26, he says this, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Let me ask you this today. Are you valuable to God? Are you valuable to God? I wonder across this room, really honestly, what our answer would be. Do you know your value? Do you know your worth? And so I don't know if he was, well, and I wonder when he was sharing this to the people of this day, if what they thought, listening to people or listening to Jesus on that day, in that moment. And I don't know if he was reminding them of what they already knew or if he was teaching them something that was brand new to them, because he says it like it's the most obvious thing in the world. Jesus is saying to us the same thing. Aren't you more valuable? What he's really saying is this. You are so valuable. Maybe some of you in this room have a low self-worth. Maybe you don't value yourself very much. And maybe you need to hear today that. Maybe that's what you need to know. You have self-worth. You are valuable. But I think before you can value yourself, you have to know that God values you. And this is why you should not worry about your life. There's this theological truth that says this, you are valuable to God. I wonder how much your life would change if this truth came to life for you. How would you live differently? If you really, really believe that God cared for you and that he loved you so much. See, God's love is so hard to comprehend because it's hard for us to love this way. Like for real. It's hard to love like how God loves, and so it's really difficult for us to comprehend sometimes. Things like this. Things like, why would the righteous die for the unrighteous? Like, it doesn't make sense. Why would the Savior die for the sinner? Why would the Creator die for his creation? Because he values you so much. It's difficult to understand. It's difficult to grasp, but you've got to catch this. See, you won't understand God until you begin to understand his crazy love for you. Jesus is telling us, don't worry because life is more than just food and clothing. And don't worry because you're so valuable to God. And if he's going to take care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. And then here's what happens. Jesus cuts right to it in Matthew 6:27. He says this, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And he's getting really practical here. And it's a practical reality. He's saying that worry adds nothing good to your life. What has worry ever added by adding anxiety and adding stress? In fact, I would be willing to say that worry, anxiety, stress has cost you something in life. I bet worry has cost you some money, joy. I bet worry has cost you joy. I bet worry has started a separation from friendships. I bet worry has started fights in your marriage. I bet worry has stopped you from taking any healthy risks in life, especially risks for the kingdom. We got people losing sleep and losing hair over stuff that hasn't happened or probably never will happen. Practically speaking, why worry? And Jesus comes out and he asks the question and he wants you and I to consider it today. What has worry ever done for you? Can it add a single hour to your life? And the answer is, of course, no. And there's this quote I found by Matthew Henry. It says this, worry is a bad sign that both the treasure and the heart are on the earth. In this same Sermon on the Mount, even back before this worry talk, Jesus drops this famous line. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, I think it's important for us to consider, where's my heart? Where's my heart? Is my heart set on worry? Is my heart set on doubt? Things that I can't even control? Or is it set on God and his kingdom? See, for the sake of time, I'm gonna go ahead and drop down to Matthew 6:32. It says this, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Here's the deal. He knows your needs. He knows your worries. He knows your wants. He knows your desires. Trust him in those things. If he can take care of birds and flowers, can he not take care of you? If our band would go ahead and come back up, I'm going to close. But I want you to hear Jesus' alternative to worrying. So we've talked about this today, and we've given a lot of reasons why worry isn't worth it. So maybe the last question that I want you to ponder to consider today is, so what should I do instead? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matthew 6:33, it says this, that very next verse, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, will be given to you as well. I want you to notice first the order. Notice the order of how what he says. It's amazing what can happen and what can change when your priorities are in order. And when your priorities start to get in order, it's amazing how your life starts to get in order as well. It's not enough to just seek God first. I don't know if you realize that or not. It's not enough to just seek God, but to seek God first. See, the order matters. The order matters a whole lot. Imagine what our life would look like if we chose every day to seek Jesus first. Spending time with God before we even show up here on Sunday. Maybe a lot of you guys are slipping around on the roads or we're praying hardcore on the way here. Man, that's awesome. Good, spending time with the Lord before you got here. But I want to encourage you to spend time before you even show up. Before you step into your workplace, onto your job site, onto your office, spend time with the Lord. Before you step into your school, spend time with the Lord, your jobs, your home. Here's the deal, the order matters. Let him who's first have the first. Then Jesus leaves this with this beautifully simple thought. And this is the last of the three F's, if you were waiting for it. Matthew 6:34. It says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We worry about food. We worry about fashion. And we worry about the future. And Jesus is simply saying, don't worry. Got you. I love how I found this quote. I love how Corrie Ten Boom said it. She said, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry is not helping your tomorrow. It's hurting your today. See, Jesus never promised a trouble-free life. If you ever got saved and accepted Christ and someone told you life was going to be perfect, I'm sorry, they lied to you as soon as you got saved. That's not what he said. He never said that. And I want to tell you this too. Today's sermon can't get you through the rest of the week. We're invited to a daily walk with God. The order matters. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be given to you as well. Seek first and the rest will follow. Well, close our eyes and bow our heads just for a moment. You may be here today, you may be new here today, brand new, or you may have been coming for a while, but I just want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you have never allowed, you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and the leader of your life. We want to give you that opportunity today. So with no one looking around, if that's you today, just in a moment of honesty, in a moment of boldness, would you say, today, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to turn this whole thing over him. I'm stressing, I'm worrying, I need Jesus in my life. Is there anybody today? You would just quickly raise up a hand and then you put it right back down. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, there's plenty of us here today who that's our prayer, that's our thought, that's what's going on. If we could do this, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to ask the whole congregation to repeat it after me. And if you raise your hand today, would you say this from the depths of your heart like you mean it today? Let's repeat after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross just for me. I believe that you raised him from the dead and that he is alive. And he's making me new. I accept him into my heart and into my life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Can we celebrate our friends this morning? Could I have everyone stand with me real quick? And here's how I'm going to ask us to respond today. If our prayer team would come to the front, I know there's so many people who are going through some real life stress, real life worries, real life struggles, real life pains, and sometimes just hearing a good message that says simply don't may not cut it for you. But I want to encourage you to believe. We serve a big God who can do some big things. So maybe today we're going to close out and we're going to sing a song. And maybe for today, this worry, this stress, this doubt, this thing, it's going to take a miracle for you to get through it today. But here's the deal. We want to believe with you. We want to pray with you. We want to stand with you, believing that God can move mountains in your life and that he can move in your life. So today, we're just going to sing one more song. And we're going to celebrate God and who he is. And if that's you today, you need to step forward and you say, I'm really struggling. I'm really going through some things. There's some worry. There's some stresses. There's some things that I'm going through in my life. And I just need someone to stand in prayer with me about it. We're going to sing today. And as we do that, we're just going to ask you to come to the front. And we're going to pray with you. We're going to seek God with you and stand with you. So let's do that today. Let's respond today. Maybe you need to look at the person next to you and say, hey, would you go with me? Don't come alone. So I need God to do a work in my life.